to Fritz and Friends. I'm Cheryl Fritz, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me on the phone now, Republican Representative Dave Ajima of Greenville. Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm doing fine. That's Granville.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Looking right at
different
it.
Different district.
Read it wrong. I'm not going to move you. I promise.
All right.
I'm not going to move you. The budget process going through the House and going through the Senate, the end of the last week is going through the House process. You added an amendment to the education budget that is causing a bit of conversation to take place. I wanted to talk to you about that amendment that was, in essence, some say penalizes state university and colleges 5% for offering domestic partner benefits for same-sex or unmarried partners. Tell me about your amendment and the reasons for it.
Well, okay, first of all, let's talk about the reasons. The people of the state of Michigan voted in 2004 that a marriage is between a man and a woman. And then the Attorney General offered a decision basically saying that benefits will not be given to state employees, state university employees as well, because it's against state rule, state law. And then the Supreme Court ruled in 2008, they agreed with the Attorney General. So in the state of Michigan, it's illegal to give same-sex unmarried benefits or non-dependents to state employees, and a state university is a state employee. So anybody that works at the university. So basically the rule of law is it's against the law. Now, what the colleges have done is say, because we have a special constitutional right here that says if I give them the money, I can't tell them how to spend it. It's very true. But the other issue is I don't have to appropriate the money. So what the bill basically, or the amendment basically said is, I'm going to withhold 5% of your funding, and I'm going to give you till December 1. And if you continue to try to skirt the law by giving those benefits, I'm going to take that 5% and I'm going to give it to K through 12 to pay down the MIPSERS retirement system, because that's terribly underfunded. So basically I'm using it with an education, but taking it from them and giving it to K through 12, they continue to do it. So it's basically three major factors. It's a cost factor. The colleges are complaining that they don't have enough money and tuition's going up, yet they're giving those benefits. And I think about 4 or 5 years ago, when I had testimony given to me at Wayne State, they were telling me I think that cost was right around $7,000 a person. I'm sure that's more now. So it's a cost issue, and it increases tuition. And I think it's a bad example to the kids to let them think that, well, the schools can get away with this, even though they're skirting the law. And, again, it's against the will of the people, the Attorney General, and the Supreme Court. So, and now you just had in, May 6th, I believe, the Attorney General's put a suit before the Civil Service Commission for trying to do the same thing for all state employees.
Well, and I did have one of the Civil Service Commissioners on the show last night, sir, talking about this, and they are saying, he is saying, it was Andrew Abood, Civil Service Commissioner, that they are upholding the law, and they're saying it's within the Constitution as this goes forward. So,
who the Civil Service Commission?
Correct.
Andrew, they can only decide pay. I think you're going to find out they can't decide benefits. I think they're going to lose that fight. Same way in this one here, I can't tell them how to spend it once I give it to them, but I can certainly not give it to them if they're not obeying the law.
And the budget was passed with this amendment inside.
Correct.
Have you gotten pushback from folks since hearing about this?
Well, I mean, I get pushed both ways. I got a lot of people saying, great, it's about time you do that. And I got other ones that the colleges obviously don't want to see their funds cut, but on the same token, I think the colleges have intentionally, over the last 4 or 5 years, done this when they knew they shouldn't be doing it. So, to me, it's just a matter of law, it's a matter of cost, and it's a bad example of the kids. So let's go ahead and do what we're supposed to do, and if you're not willing to do that, it's going to cost you. If it means that much to them, they want to skirt the law, fine, they're going to lose 5%.
You have introduced the same kind of amendment before, the same amendment before in past years?
No, that was different. I don't even remember exactly what it was,
okay.
But it was different than this one. This one basically takes, before I hand them any money, I'm withholding the money. So I'm basically not giving them the money until they give me their decision as of December 1.
We'll move forward from it from there. Where in the process are we now? The next step is for these budgets, both the Senate and the House budgets, to go to conference committee and then be combined to a final bill. Then
correct.
It's thumbs up or thumbs down.
That's correct. So what happens is now all the budgets that we've passed, we have differences between the Senate and the House. And then what happens is the conference committee members get together and they look at all the differences. And they hash out what the differences should or shouldn't be. And they come up with a bill, and then that bill goes for an up or down vote on the House and the Senate floor.
And then to the governor for signing.
Correct.
What the shifting of funds from the school aid fund to universities and community colleges, your thoughts on that and the headlines that it's caused?
Well, I think the reason that Governor Snyder wanted to do that was because a lot of the kids that are coming out of the K through 12 are not college ready when they get there, so they need remedial training. So especially with the junior colleges, his thought process was, let's go ahead and give the community colleges money because they're going to need it to retrain these kids in math and reading. So, excuse me, that was basically, I think, his rationale behind that. My rationale, which I just explained, is just totally different. I just want them to comply with the law, just like the civil service should. So, and it's still all within education. And, yes, Proposition A does allow colleges to receive money from Prop A, not just K through 12, like some K through 12 people will say that should all go to K through 12. That's not what the Constitution of Proposition A says.
The now that the budgets have been pushed through both the House and the Senate, it comes back for more discussion. Are you confident that the budget process can get finished before the dates, as Governor Snyder had hoped and has suggested?
If you had asked me this question at the beginning of January, I'd say it's impossible. You asked me the question now, I think it's very probable.
Have you, in your experience, seen a budget move at this pace?
No, but again, they didn't need to. I think for the last 4 years that I was here in the other administration, they waited for the very last minute to do anything for the hopes that they could get a lot of things passed that people wouldn't ordinarily vote for just because it was last minute. Matter of fact, I was the first time I saw a clock stop. I didn't know that we could stop time. It was actually the next day, but it was still 11:59 the day before. And they were trying to, you know, obviously get a bunch of things passed that a lot of people didn't want to vote for. And I think when it comes to education budgets and other things like this, businesses, especially, and schools want to know exactly what they have coming their way or don't have coming their way. And businesses want to know what their tax liability is going to be. Already, because of what Snyder has brought up on the 6% tax on net profit, that's already encouraging businesses. They're starting to think of hiring some more people because they know exactly what their tax liability would be. Under the old system, you know, you could lose money and still owe taxes because it was based on gross receipts, which was a terrible tax.
Well, and in talking with folks from Lansing School District, obviously here in the city, they're encouraged by the fact that they'll know what the funding is coming for, to your point.
Absolutely.
So it makes a huge difference. Do you think this makes for a more thoughtful process in terms of not waiting to the last minute and missing something in the rush to get things through, that there's time for thought and consideration?
Well, quite frankly, there wasn't a whole lot of thought and consideration in a lot of these things in my last 4 years. As a minority chairman of various committees, I wasn't even brought into the discussion. We at least have brought people, the minority party, into the discussion prior to the bills, prior to the appropriations process, and discussed things with them. We discussed it on the floor, discussed it in appropriations, and in personal, even within our own offices here. So I think there's probably a difference in opinion, obviously, between what a budget should be and what it shouldn't be. Quite frankly, my attitude is government should be there just enough so people can do as much or as little as they want to and then reap the rewards thereof or lack thereof with a safety net. And I think what's happening in the state of Michigan, we are continually spending more and more on a lot of entitlement programs where we couldn't afford it anymore. So we're at a point now where the money coming in from the revenues in Michigan business tax and so forth is so much less than what they anticipated. I think the original, what they thought they were going to get out of the MBT was about $2.8 billion, and I think we're only getting about $1.7 right now because businesses figured out, hey, you're going to do this to me, I'm going to shrink in size, I'm going to move out of the state, or I'm going to go bankrupt, or I'm just, and businesses from outside the state just won't come here because they don't want to deal with all the regulation and those kind of taxes. So it was just a bad system to begin with. And again, that was a last-minute deal shoved down everybody's throat. I didn't vote for it, but that's the thing that they passed, and it's really hurt. So I think what he's doing now is exactly correct. You have to get all these changes in as quickly as you can so people know what to anticipate, and then let's get on and fix some of the minor details other than the budget which will affect regulations and so forth.
Do you think after this conference on May 16th that there might be a little more money to deal with than had previously been thought?
There might be, but again, I want to let everybody know out there, a revenue estimate is exactly that. It's an estimate. They're seldom right. They're usually wrong. And the other thing is, if you look at how much they're thinking that may come in, again, that's a may, that doesn't even cover the interest on our debt. Now, if you look at all the debt we have, it depends who you talk to and what you want to include, whether it's general government, whether it's the state employees' benefits once they retire. You're looking anywhere between $45, $47 billion minimum, and some people estimate it up to $70 billion. Well, you got to start paying down that debt, and the interest on the debt is huge. So if you can use some of that extra money to pay down the debt would be the wise thing. It'd be like you trying to pay down your mortgage on your house rather than buying a bigger house, and that's kind of where things have been going the last 4 years. The budget's continually got bigger. So this past week or two, I think the actual cut was about $1.45 billion out of the budget. And I think that's the first time in almost a decade where money has actually been cut from a budget. What occurred in the last 2 to 4 years when I was here, the governor would come up with her proposal, which would be an increase in spending, and then she would back off from some of the increase and call that a cut. It's not a cut. It's actually an increase, just not as much of an increase as she wanted. This is an actual cut, and that's what needed to happen.
Well, Representative, I appreciate your time and perspective this evening. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Republican Representative Dave Ajima of Granville, Michigan. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.